Welcome to Just a Minute. Hello, my name is Nicholas Parsons, and as the minute waltz fades away once more, it is my pleasure not only to welcome our listeners, the audience in the studio, but the four intrepid and experienced players who this week are going to play Just a Minute. We welcome back two young performers who've excelled themselves in the game before, that is Tony Hawks and Fred McCauley, and two who have proved their worth over many years of playing Just a Minute, that is Derek Nimmo and Clement Freud. And will you please welcome all four of them? And as usual, I am going to ask them to speak, if they can, on a subject that I will give them, and they will try and do that without hesitation, repetition, or deviating from the subject. And they will score points or lose points in that process. Elaine Wigley sits beside me. She'll help me keep the score. She'll blow a whistle when 60 seconds are up. And this particular edition of Just a Minute is coming from the delightful Citizens Theatre in the Gorbals in Glasgow. And we are once more... And citizens is the first subject. Let's ask Tony Hawks to start the show by talking on the subject of citizens. 60 seconds as usual, starting now.
Quite some time ago, the citizens of the United Kingdom embarked on their greatest collective task, to elect a new government. And, you know, I've been so busy since then, I haven't even bothered to find out who won it. I don't know why everyone got so excited about it. I haven't picked up a paper. I just don't care. I'm in the
Oh, Derek, yes, you were the first.
Representative of excitement.
Excitement, yes, Derek. That is a correct challenge. So you get a point for that, and you take over the subject of citizens. There are 33 seconds left, starting now.
I'd like to use the word excited, too, because I am exactly that to be here in the citizens. So many of my chums have actually performed here. Murray MacDonald, the great London producer, came down and saw on this very stage Stanley Baxter. Took him away. He went into London. I had to pay him call the amorous prawn. I've not ever seen him in pantomime because he always stays here.
Tony Hawks.
What's the matter now?
He's not actually completing any words.
I'm giving you a bit of a pace on.
So, Tony, what was your challenge?
Deviation from the English language.
I think, actually, it was Derek Nimmo speak, really, and which we accept in just
a minute,
even though we have to listen very hard to pick up every word. So, Derek, I call that an incorrect challenge. You have a point for that. 14 seconds are left. The citizens starting now.
The citizens have produced many great plays.
Tony,
he did it again.
What?
Well, he didn't say citizens. He said citizens.
My dear banana, if you traveled from here, from Manila, as I have... You'd be very like any words out at all, I can tell you.
Very well. So, Derek, we allow you to continue. If you could get over your jet lag and enunciate a bit better, we'd all be pleased. The subject is still the citizens. Another point to you, 12 seconds starting now.
Now Barabbas by William Douglas Hughes.
Clement Freud has challenged.
Deviation.
Why?
He's speaking quite clearly now.
Clement, we give you a bonus point because we like the challenge, but it wasn't anything wrong within the rules of Just a Minute, so Derek keeps the subject. 8 seconds are left. The citizens starting now.
A Day in the Life of Joe Egg by Peter Nichols was performed on this very...
Tony Hawks, a challenge.
Repetition of very.
Yes, you did say that. You got in with 1 second to go. Rather clever, that is. You get a point, of course, for a correct challenge. 1 second on the citizens starting now. Party... At the end of that round, whoever's speaking, by the way, when the whistle goes, gains an extra point. It was Tony Hawks. He has 2 points. Derek Nimmo got most points in that round. In fact, he got almost as many as last time he was playing here. But he did extremely well in spite of his jet lag, which he talked about. And Derek, we'd like you to take the next round. The subject is porridge. What an apt subject for a Glasgow show before a Glasgow audience. Porridge. Tell us something about it. Strutting, no.
Porridge is the most delightful dish, and the good thing about it, it totally foxes the French. When they see it lurking on a sideboard, they don't know whether it's a pudding or what it is. And I do like that very much. Actually, if one travels across the Brack Isle from Inverness to Lochlickett, and with your little billy can, boil the water, put in the oatmeal, and then you can have your porridge afterwards. My goodness, it does taste frightfully good. It was also a television comedy show with Ronnie Barker. And that very nice young Beckwith boy who so sadly died.
Tony Hawk's challenge. Sadly, his name is also Beckinsale.
Beckinsale.
That was a deviation from the correct cast. So, Tony, correct challenge. 28 seconds are left. You tell us something about porridge, starting now.
Doing porridge isn't necessarily a bad thing. You can go into prison and come out a better person. Mandela went in, and when he came out, he was president. My cousin went...
Fred, you challenged.
Yeah, that's incorrect. I don't know quite whether that's nearest...
No, you're quite right.
He didn't come out
as president. After he came out, later he was elected president.
And you can come out as a homosexual, but I don't think you can come out as a president. Hello, I've been keeping this secret from you. I'm the president.
A very good challenge that got its well-deserved round of applause, and Fred, a well-deserved point for you in 16 seconds to take over porridge, starting now.
When I was a young boy growing up in the village of Killin in Perthshire, porridge was part of our staple diet, morning, noon and night. We cooked it once a week on the Sunday and then cut it into slabs on the Monday and put it away in the drawer where it would lie there festering in the cold.
I think that applause was for your deprived childhood, Fred. If I can be honest. Right, Fred McCauley was speaking as the whistle went. Gained that extra point for doing so. He is in the second place because we have joint leaders Tony Hawks and Derek Nimmo. Fred, your turn to begin. The subject, messing about on the river. Sounds a frightfully English subject to bring up to Glasgow. But anyway, tell us something about messing about on the river, starting now.
Well, the only river I've ever messed about on was the Clyde, just a short hop and a skip from here, from the Gorbals. And I've often wondered what a single Gorbal would look like. But another time we will discuss that, because messing about in the river brings to mind...
Clement Freud's challenge.
Reputation of the sea.
Clement, you have 43 seconds messing about on the river, starting now.
Messing about on the river is actually a very English thing to do in Toad of Toad Hall. They seem to... I said Toad twice, I mean...
What a sporting player. Tony, you got in first. 34 seconds messing about on the river, starting now.
No ship's captain worth his salt would allow messing about on the river. These senior officers have incredible powers when they're on board ship. They can actually marry you. It's never happened to me. Perhaps one's never fancied me enough. I've never really known. I messed about on the river with Rosemary Wilcox many years ago. Quite some exciting time we had. The boat was rocking quite a lot, I have to say. But this was not for the reasons that you have jumped to. The reason was...
Clement challenge.
Repetition.
Yes, there were too many reasons, but I can understand the
reason. One reason, really.
Yes. 8 seconds are left for you, Clement. Messing about on the river, starting now.
Messing on board ship always means providing provender, food, porridge.
Oh, Clement Freud speaking as a whistle. When gained that extra point, he's now equal to Derek Newman in second place, 1 point behind Tony Hawk's Trevor Corley is in third place. And Clement, your turn to begin. A red herring is the subject. Can you tell us something about that in just a minute, if you can, starting now?
A red herring is very different from a Patagonian blowfish, about which there seems to be a lot of news because the World Wildlife Fund is concerned about extinction of that South American...
Tony Hawk's challenge first.
I think there might have been a hesitation.
Yes, there was, yes. 42 seconds. A red herring with you, Tony, starting now.
I bought a herring in a fishmonger's and took it home. It was wrapped in newspaper, and I read all the articles that were on that, and so I suppose, in a way, that was a red herring. I also think if I was to talk about Patagonians, whatever Clement said, I could do it for a minute, and no one could challenge for deviation, because I could claim that that was a red...
Clement Freud, challenge.
Two I coulds.
Yes, because you could have claimed it was a red herring. What a pity. Clever idea. 23 seconds. Clement, another point to you. A red herring's back with you, starting now.
A green mackerel. A blue herring. But...
Derek Nimmer, challenge.
Hesitation.
Hesitation, I agree, Derek. 18 seconds. Tell us something about a red herring, starting now.
They used to put a dried, red, smoked herring in front of the hounds to put them off their scent. A very mean thing to do, and that's why it was called a red herring. Another example might be when Tony Thing over there...
Tony, challenge.
I'm sorry, I just can't allow him to call me Tony Thing. That's deeply insulting.
So that is deviation from your correct name.
Deviation from decent manners. I'm surprised at you, Derek.
What is your last name?
Derek Boyd.
3 seconds. A red herring is back with you, Tony, starting now.
The Patagonian fish cake.
So Tony Hawk's got points in that round, including that extra one for speaking as the whistle went, and has moved forward ahead of Derek Nimmer and Clement Freud, even in second place, and then Fred McCauley. And Tony, your turn to begin. The subject, oh, very apt, festivals, because we are part of Mayfest up here in Glasgow. But tell us something about festivals, Tony. 60 seconds, starting now.
The Glasgow Mayfest is obviously much better than the Edinburgh Festival. Who wants to wander around up and down hills? Most of the people in that country become prematurely old. What did I say country for it?
Clement Freud challenge.
Yes.
Yes, what? Absolutely.
Two countries.
48 seconds. Festivals, Clement, starting now.
Festivals is an anagram of St. Flavie's. A place which I have not been to, but I'm sure has a lot going for it. The festivals that I enormously enjoy are the Mayfest in Glasgow and, secondarily, Edinburgh Festival, where we never fail to find wonderful audiences who don't mind a bit if I hesitate, deviate, or drink glasses of water when I should be speaking. We have a festival in Aldeburgh, near where I live in Suffolk. And it is exceedingly highbrow. I had just 8.
A friend McCauley challenged.
A hesitation.
I was a hesitation, yes. 6 seconds are still available on festivals. It's yours, Fred, starting now.
This in Mayfest is my favourite festival. It's where I first put my feet on the stage to become a stand-up comedian.
But McCauley got that extra point for speaking as the whistle went. And Derek Nimmer, it's your turn to begin. The subject, Macintosh. Tell us something about that in this game, starting now.
Charles Macintosh, a citizen of Scotland, invented the Macintosh, which is named obviously after him, in 1823 when he put some rubber and combined it with some pitch tar. And it has become a generic name, rather like Biro or Hoover, or dare I say, Freudian. It's one of those things which makes you terribly happy in life. I think I would love to have a Nimmo called after me, but I don't.
Tony Hawk's challenge.
I'd just like to say I'd like to have a thing named after me.
So what is your challenge?
Just trying to be, flippant.
All right. You were. You've got a round of applause for your flippancy, so we'll give you a bonus point for that. Derek was interrupted. He gets a point for being interrupted. He keeps the subject. 37 seconds are left. Macintosh, starting now.
C. Rennie Macintosh from this city was a great furniture designer, say people say. Now, I have a friend who has a lovely Georgian house in Russell Square, and he's filled it with Macintosh furniture, which I think looks so inappropriate.
And Clement for a challenge.
The repetition of furniture.
You've mentioned the furniture before. I'm sorry, Derek. Clement has got in on Macintosh with 22 seconds to go, starting now.
A very worrying thing to come across if you walk around Kelvin Grove is a gorble in a Macintosh. These strange, small, fairy beasts who usually wear umbrellas or carry walking sticks should not, I think, prefer raincoats.
Clements was then speaking as the whistle went. Gained that extra point. He's moved forward. He's one behind our leader, Tony Hawks. He's just ahead of Derek Nimmo and Fred McCauley in that order. And Fred, your turn to begin. A good egg. I'm sure you are one, but can you talk about the subject in this game starting now?
It is a curious expression, a good egg. Tony Hawks, a good egg? Of course he is. Is that because he's white on the outside and yellow in the middle? Is it because he came out the back end of a chicken? I think not. Obviously, it's a word that has come around, or a series of words that have been put together to form...
Derek Nimmo challenged.
Rather thought of the pause.
Yes. Derek, hesitation, 40 seconds are left. A good egg, starting now.
One of the best eggs, I have to say, a good egg I've ever tasted, is a ballot. This is very popular in the island of the Philippines. What they do is they go along with
Tony Hawk's challenge.
That's not just one island, is it?
You said the islands of the Philippines.
I thought you said the island. Sorry.
So, Derek, an incorrect challenge. 31 seconds. A good egg starting now.
Duck eggs take 28 days to incubate, and they actually eat them in that particular place I just mentioned before when they're about to be hatched. So you cook them, and you eat a duck as well as a white egg.
Tony Hawk's challenge.
Repetition of eat.
Yeah, I think you saved us from something very unpleasant.
Mm-hmm.
20 seconds for you, Tony, on a good egg starting now.
Any egg that is thrown and lands on a politician is a good egg. I go out and throw them like nobody's business. And then get off that soapbox, I say.
Can't tell me for a challenge.
Repetition of throw.
No, I don't think so.
Yes.
No, I said any egg that is thrown.
So 11 seconds still with Tony on a good egg starting now.
Clement Freud is clearly a good egg. The honourable way he accepted defeat in that challenge shows to me that he is a man of great heart. Fred McCauley also...
Tony Hawks is also a good egg, and he kept going on the subject until the whistle went. Gained that extra point for doing so. He's increased his lead at the end of the round. Clement Freud, will you take the next round? The subject, poaching. Will you tell us something about it in just a minute, if you can, starting now?
Poaching is something you do to a good egg, and in order to discover whether or not the quality is high enough for poaching, a very sensible thing to do with this thing that comes out of the backside of a chicken is to immerse it in a glass of water and see whether it sinks or floats, and be extraordinarily careful should it rise to the top. There are many different ways of poaching eggs, and Elizabeth David gives in her book an excellent method whereby she uses the wooden spoon to create a whirlwind. The whirlpool, I should have said. Silly about whirlwind.
Fred, you challenge.
I was doing so well, he didn't repeat himself until he said, I shouldn't have said whirlwind. So it's repetition.
Of whirl, that's right. So 19 seconds for you, Fred, on poaching, starting now.
If we'd been good in eating our porridge all week, then on the Friday my father would go out and poach for us a good egg, which would have been from a garble. It would take him days to hunt it down, but if he stalked it carefully up the heather moors, then we could be sure the poaching was well.
Fred McCauley speaking as the whistle went, gained that extra point for doing so, and at the end of the round he is still in fourth place, but only just behind Derek Nimmo and Clement Freud, equal, and out in the lead, Tony Hawks. And Tony, your turn to begin. The subject, good advice. Have you given any? Have you received any? Can you talk about it, starting now?
My grandfather, a man of great wisdom, said to me once, son, he was wise, he wasn't very good with generations, to whatever extent you have placed the responsibility for your feelings of love and wholeness on someone else is the degree to which you are bound to disappointment. Which was annoying, because I'd asked him what the capital of Poland was. I have some good advice for you. Never leapfrog a unicorn. When I first came on this program, I asked Paul Merton, my friend, for some good advice on how to play it. And he said, it's easy, just take the piss out of Nicholas. I have to say, I've followed that advice very closely, and it's never let me down. Although it seems rather unfair on our fine, upstanding chairman, although he's seated at the moment. He will stand later.
Dairy Nimmo challenge.
Stand, repetition.
What a pity. I was enjoying that last time. And you know, he kept going for 53 seconds. Repetition of tedious. Almost had the full minute. Hey, Derek, you got him in the correct challenge. There are 7 seconds left. Good advice starting now.
Good advice is what I give to my children, and they completely ignore it. Never a borrow or a lender.
Well, Tony Hawks is still in the lead, just ahead of Derek Nimmo now, just ahead of Termot Floyd, and he's just ahead of Fred McCauley. Derek Nimmo, your turn to begin. The subject... foul play. Tell us something about that in just a minute, starting now.
Well, I must confess at this point that I have actually played foully. I remember in the egg and spoon race at my little son's school at one time, I was asked to compete against Roger Bannister, who was also a parent at the time. And he was much faster than I am or ever would be. And so when we set off, I put my thumb on the object that I was holding on a piece of metal and pushed it all the way, and I won. And I got a bottle of cooking sherry as a prize. And I was, everybody said I was a good egg, but of course, I have said egg, so I didn't have some egg.
Tony Hawk's challenge. Repetition of egg. Foul play is now with you, Tony, and there are 27 seconds left, starting now.
I went to see some performing geese doing Hamlet, so I suppose this was a foul play. The ducks also were doing The Importance of Being Earnest at a different lake just up the road. That was a better foul play, I have to say. Some could say that it's foul play to twist the words in the way that I did there, but that's very...
Termot Floyd challenge.
Repetition say. I let him go on a bit because I haven't got much to say about it.
It was a correct challenge, even though it wasn't very well received. 6 seconds are still available. Foul play with you, Clement, starting now.
I went into a public bar where there was a notice declaring food, drink, and a kindly word.
Well, the position has not changed throughout the whole of this edition of Just a Minute. Tony Hawks took the lead, has maintained the lead. He's just ahead of Danny Nimmo and Clement Floyd, equal in second place. Fred McCauley is trailing them a little, and he begins the next round, letting the cat out of the bag. A lot of cats have been let out of bags on Just a Minute. Tell us something about the subject, if you can, Fred, starting now.
If someone lets the cat out of the bag, then it's generally accepted that they've let slip a piece of information that they really shouldn't have. And as it always said with a bit of irony, it's not the kind of thing that you would say if it's been...
Derek Nimmo, sir.
Two saves.
Two saves, yes. Derek, you have the subject. You have another point, of course. 47 seconds. Letting the cat out of the bag, starting now.
It is an expression which is rather related to never buy a pig in a poke. Because in olden times, a farmer would put into a bag a cat and take it to the market hoping to sell it. And the man would not investigate and find it was a porker inside. So if he did actually have a look to see what was there, he would actually let the cat out of the bag and it would run away. And
I came in for a challenge you before you got to the runaway, yes.
On the second, actually.
Yeah, on the second, actually.
There's always a lot of actually.
Yes. Mm-hmm. 26 seconds, Clement, letting the cat out of the bag, starting now.
I think this is probably a culinary expression. There's a lot of cooking in the bag that goes on. And letting the cat out of the bag would presuppose that you put one into it first. I'm not a tremendous gourmet when it comes to feline creatures, but there must be bits of cat which would be wholly delicious. They agree.
A culture challenge.
Well, you stopped, didn't
he? I know.
I was listening to the audience reaction. I
know. And you got it, too. They were quite disgusted. Right, Tony, you've got him with 3 seconds to go on letting the cat out of the bag, starting now.
John Major let the cat out of the bag when he said, "When our..."
Tony Hawks, focus the whistle, Wayne, gain an extra point, has increased the lead ahead of Derek Nimmo and Clement Floyd. They're still equal in second place. In fact, the position has remained throughout exactly the same order, and we are entering the last round. We began with a Scottish subject, a very apt for Glasgow, because we talked about the citizens, and we're in the Citizens Theatre in the Gorbals in Glasgow, part of Mayfest, and we're going to end with reels. Clement, you have 60 seconds starting now.
for an only child to try and dance and eat some real was always a difficult matter, but we had something called French knitting, which was done with cotton reels, into which four nails were stuck, and you bought wool, and you carried a bit of woolen thread over a nail onto another, and out came an endless sausage of woven material with which you never quite knew what to do. I made tea cozies and mats, serviette rings and napkin holders, and the thing kept coming out onwards and on. There was no end to the...
Fred McCauley's challenge.
I just realized there was a repetition of onwards and onwards.
Yeah.
Did you not? Yeah. Oh, no. Well, I'd...
Onwards and on, I said.
Onwards and on. Mm.
Well,
did you close down the second one? Did you?
That's right. Which is a slight deviation from English as we understand it, but it doesn't really matter. Do you want to carry on, Fred?
Not really.
Not going to win, but would you like to finish the show for us? I think Clement can't win either, even if he gets the point. So, reels with you, Fred McCauley, starting now. And
hesitation. He can win, you know.
With your help like that, another point to him. Yes, of course he can. Another point to an incorrect challenge. Yes.
Thank you, Clement.
Another point, then you've still got to put the 13 and a half seconds starting now. And then... Tony, you've challenged.
Repetition.
Of the falls.
Yeah, repetition.
Which he didn't make. Incorrect challenge. You've got 13 seconds now, Fred, on reels starting now.
Last Hogmanay, we went up to Dolman Bridge to spend the New Year's Eve up there. And
Camouflage challenge.
Repetition of Milgai.
This is very embarrassing.
It isn't. The audience are loving it. There we are. 7 seconds. Another point, Fred. Real, starting now.
When we...
memo challenge.
Hesitation.
It was hesitation, but I'm not going to allow it. Another point to Fred. 5 seconds, Fred, on reels, starting now.
When midnight struck, a bagpiper struck up and he played a tune that we...
McCauley kept going magnificently until the whistle went. Gained an extra point for doing so. And as we come to the end of this edition of Just a Minute, he has now finished up in very fair, because I always say it's not the points, it's the contribution they make, and it's all wonderful. But equal in second place are Fred McCauley, Derek Nimmer, and Clement Freud. So that's very fair, isn't it? But a few points ahead of them was the man who took the lead at the beginning and maintained it throughout, Tony Hawk. So, Tony, we say you're the winner this week. And we thank them all for their great contribution to the fun that we try to generate in Just a Minute. I thank Elaine Wigley for keeping the score and also blowing a whistle so delicately when the 60 seconds were up. And Jobson for producing and directing the show. Ian Messiter for creating the show for us all to play. And this audience here in the Glasgow Citizens Theatre who've come to enjoy themselves. We've been privileged to be part of Mayfest. So from all of us here and me, Nicholas Parsons, thank you and goodbye.